Psalms 120. If you haven't, just pretend you have, okay? If you're still looking for it, just pretend you have. But let's stand once more for the reading God's Word if you are able to. And in Psalms 120, and, you know, I always pray how God would have me present the ministry of the camp, and I do it differently as in each church. It's not set one way or another, and I really feel God kind of had me focused tonight on just the idea of trusting Him in regards to the tent and how life is changing and things like that. And this is just an area where I'm going to be preaching to you, but it's something I need to hear as well. Because there's certain times in your life where you got everything under control, you know how things are going to happen, and everything seems to go well. But then there's other times where, you know, things are all falling apart, and maybe there's circumstances that maybe a brother can help you with, or a mom or a dad. But then there's times where things are so far out of our reach and control that, you know, we need to get back to where we should have thought in the beginning, where our help could come from. And that would lead me into the passage here in Psalm 120. It says, "In my distress," verse 1, "I cried unto thee." In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Hey, there's some hope that we can go to. You notice he didn't call into the doctors. He didn't call into his friends. He didn't call to the banker. He didn't call to his credit cards. He didn't call even to the church members. He went directly to the Lord. Why is it sometimes that's the last place we turn? You know? But he went to the Lord. And then look at verse number 1 of one of the next chapter, 120. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Look at those first two words. I will. It's a personal choice. He said, I could be bogged down and complain, woe is me, and I got all these problems. But he said, I'm going to make the personal choice to look to the Lord and say, and look up and say, I will lift up mine eyes. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Those two first verses of chapter 121 have a lot of personal pronouns. My, mine. You see my twice. But then when you get into verses 3 through 8, All those personal pronouns turn into thy, thee, and he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And he transitions from a personal testimony in verse 1 and 2 to say, you know what God's doing for me, he can do for you as well. Those promises that God gave to me, and he can do that for you too, and you can claim those as well. And I want to preach a message and give you this thought tonight and ask this question. Where does your help come from? Where do you turn for help? I want you to think about that tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the great day we've had in your house, and thank you for these good people. Lord, I pray that I'd be able to be your mouthpiece tonight to speak your truth, Lord, from the Word of God. And I pray that you'd please do great work. We need your help tonight. All is in vain unless you meet with us. We ask that you bless in a great way. In your name pray. Amen. You may be seated. Where do you turn for help? There was a lot of times this last summer where nobody could help me. I couldn't turn to anybody else. We expended every type of avenue of help we could find. And it was just going to be up to God to work a miracle. A lot of people like to say, oh yeah, I live by faith. But, you know, we like to have a little reserve in the bank. We like to have a little fallback in case that living by faith thing doesn't work. And we like to have a plan B and an option. And living by faith is just stepping out into the unknown with God's direction and know that He'll provide for you and He'll answer that. And, you know, there's a lot of great examples of that in the Word of God. And we see that David said, you know, I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the Lord. Under the hills from whence my help comes from. And I paraphrase there. But I want to go to a passage of Scripture in 2 Kings. And I'd ask you if you turn there. We started off in Psalms, but we'll spend most of our time in 2 Kings chapter 4. One of the great, I love this story about a widow lady who received from the hand of God in a time of need, in a time where she had nowhere to turn, in a time of great despair. And we can learn some principles and some truths from this tonight that each of us can use in our lives. And if you'd look as I begin to read in 2 Kings chapter 4, it begins, and we'll read down through verse number 7, and it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came to and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Here in this story, we have a young couple who just got married. We find that they are essentially in Bible college. For the young man is actually studying with Elijah as one of the sons of the prophets, studying for ministry. And so here he is, in planning to work in the ministry one day, studying with these preachers. And God's blessed their home. They've just been married a short time, but God's blessed their home with two boys. And they have this home, and all of a sudden one day they got some bad news. I don't know how, the Bible doesn't tell us, but this man passes away. He passes away. And I don't know how he passed, but in 1 Kings in 18, it does tell us that the evil Queen Jezebel was killing some of the prophets, and so it could be possible that he died while serving the Lord by the hand of this evil queen. But we're not too sure how it happened. Nonetheless, he passes away and leaves the family in great despair. I know in their early time of marriage, they acquired some debt. I'm sure he had every intention to pay down that debt and pay it off, having a lot of years ahead of him. But he didn't know that death was about to knock at his door. You see, death can come at any age to any one of us. And death is no respecter of person. God is the one who giveth life. He's the one that takes it. No one, some people may die prematurely from sin they're involved in or doing something stupid or doing something like that. But, ultimately, God knows when our life starts. He knows when it's going to end. And God is the giver of life. And He is the one that took it away from this young man. And there his wife sat with her two boys, no way to turn for financial help, no money, no job, nowhere to turn. And there the creditor started knocking on the door. And every day he'd come and say, if you can't pay, I'm going to have to take your two boys to pay this debt off, to satisfy the debt. She got in such great despair that we find that there's nothing left in the house. When they say nothing, I believe it was nothing in the house. But that little cruse of oil was left. I'm thinking maybe she sold all this stuff off to pay for funeral expenses and maybe to live on for a little while to satisfy the creditor and tell him, hey, we're trying to pay this off and do her best till she came to her wit's end. She couldn't do any more in her own strength. She had nowhere to turn. And so what does she do? We see in verse 2 that she turned to the man of God. And I give her great credit for turning to the man of God. That's why God gave us each our pastor. My pastor to lead me and to go to for guidance. God gave you your pastor. He when he leaves town, someone can fill the position in running the service, but no one can take his spot and make executive decisions for the church and turn the church. That job was given to the pastor. And God set up that order of command. We should be willing to yield ourselves to go to the pastor for advice at times. Amen? And say, what do you think God would have me do? God gives them special insight on things like that to be able to help us in time of need. And I give her great credit to go to the man of God for help. For she couldn't turn to the other college students. Lord knows they didn't have any money to help. You know, every college student's broke. She couldn't turn to any other friends. She didn't have any other resources within her house to help herself. She needed a miracle to happen. And when she went to the man of God said, well, in verse 2, look what he said, what shall I do for thee? Almost to say, well, what do you want me to do about that problem? Almost kind of sounds insensitive, like, you know, I'd be willing to help that lady, knowing all she went through. But what Elisha was trying to do was get her to think how she could help herself. For if she knew she could go to the man of God and get help, that help would only last for a short amount of time. For then she'd have to go back and back and back, and maybe she'd depend on a man instead of depending on the Lord. She could have, you know, and that's where we get off track sometimes. And we think, oh, we're going to go to our parents for help. We're going to go to another friend of ours for help. I think I can get this done if I just try to work a few extra hours. I think I can get this done if we just go to this doctor and we can get this fixed. When the last place we turn is the first place we should have turned to, the Lord. And we see that she goes to the man of God, and the man of God says, well, what do you want me to do about your problem? And then he proceeds to take one of the most insignificant things, just a little cruse of oil, a little small vessel of oil. What could that do for her? If she sold it, it could maybe bring a couple dollars, but it wasn't going to suffice for her need. And God used something so little and so insignificant to answer a need. You know why? Because then we couldn't turn to the oil and say, well, that oil was the thing that saved her. No, in itself, that couldn't save her, but the miracle done through that could save her. And I'm glad God uses insignificant things like you and me. And I'm not the most talented thing, a person to work at camp, but I made myself available one day. And I said, God, if you can use me, please do so. And God used that little insignificant thing to work a great miracle. And he said to her, go borrow vessels of all thy neighbors. How many? Well, we don't know how many, but he said, borrow not a few. How many would that be? As many as they could find? But I want you to notice that even though she didn't know why she was doing that, she still trusted the man of God. Even though she didn't know why she was doing that, she was about to be blessed according to the level of faith and the level of effort she put in herself. So why? How do we know that? Because God says, or we find out later on, that the Lord filled everyone and the oil didn't stop until the last vessel was filled. If she brought 100 in, I believe God would have filled 100. If she brought in 1,000, there would still been enough oil in that little vessel for 1,000. And she was going to be blessed according to how great her faith was. Think about that. When was the last time you just stepped out a little bit by faith? A little bit by faith. That's not just for missionaries going to third world countries. That's for us in the pews. Every single day we live, we ought to live by faith. And let God test our faith. Let God grow our faith. Let's not get comfortable where we're at and satisfied saying, you know what? I've accomplished enough in life, and sit back and relax. Let's always be pushing forward. Pastor Gomez is 66 years old now. He's coming down towards the end of his ministry, not the beginning. And it would be easy for him to coast along and say, you know what? I want to leave Northwest Bible Baptist Church whenever God sees fit with the properties paid for, and everything was paid for, with money in the bank, with all this going well. He could have easily said that. We've done enough. But then he took on the project of Kite River Revival Campgrounds, which sunk us back into debt, which caused a lot more work, which causes a lot more living by faith, which causes a lot more stress. And God, what are you doing here? And that's the way each and every one of us should live, always pushing forward to do a little more for God. And she goes and collects vessels. And I want you to notice a couple things about these vessels. First of all, they had to be empty vessels. They had to be empty vessels. She'd knock on a door and say, hey, neighbor, can I borrow a vessel? Well, I got three, but they're full of oil, grain, and water. Well, I can't use those. They were no use to her because they're already filled with something else. And a lot of times you and I, you know, God can't fill us any more than we are willing to empty ourselves. And we say, you know what, God? I've emptied myself. I'm half empty. That's all I'm going to do, God. Well, God's going to use just that much. But you know what? God wants to empty ourselves completely and be willing to empty ourselves of all our desires, all of our ambitions, what we want to do, and let Him fill us up. He can't fill a vessel that's already full of Himself. And these vessels had to be empty vessels. And just when you think that you've emptied yourself out completely, God somehow finds a way to squeeze you just a little bit more and test you a little bit more and put you in a position in Rochelle where you gotta walk by faith just a little bit more. And you think about this for illustration. Have you ever gotten down to the end of a toothpaste tube and it's empty and you realize it's empty, but then you forget 3 days later to go to the store? And so what was empty on Monday, you're rolling up, you're squeezing, you're pushing out, you're cutting off the end. And what are you doing? You're trying just to squeeze enough out for that day. It was empty on Monday, so you thought, but then you squeezed out a little bit more. And God wants to do that to us if we would avail ourselves to Him. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy to live that way. But if God's going to do something with us, we got to be empty. We also see that they had to be clean vessels. She couldn't walk up to a house and get a potted plant and use that. God was going to put pure, clean oil in it. Probably, and no doubt, the way God does things, He does all things well. This is going to be the purest oil you could find around there. You were going to put it in an empty vessel or a dirty vessel. You were going to put it in something that had mud and dirt in it. It had to be something that was clean, that was washed out. And that's how we ought to be living our lives as well. What kind of junk are you digesting through the week? And you say, you know what? I'm not getting anything out of church. Well, that's because you're living life dirty. And God can't work through you through that dirty vessel. They also had to be available vessels. They had to be available. They could knock on a door, but if the vessels weren't available, she had to move on. And they had to be in close proximity to the need. They couldn't be a state away. I've had a lot of people say, I'd love to help you, brother, but I live in Minnesota. I appreciate the consideration, but they're not as big of a help to us. Guess who God put really close to the camp? I just put that together. Thank you, God, for that. I appreciate that. That's not in my notes. They had to be close proximity to the need. And boy, that was good. Thank you, God. And I ask you, you know, are you that kind of Christian that's clean, that's available, that's in close proximity, that's willing to empty yourself of yourself so that God can have His way? Just like those fishermen we talked about this morning. Do you think anyone would have known about those fishermen today if they stayed on their boat and lived their life to catch fish? No, absolutely not. But we know that they gave up their desires and ambitions to do God's will. And look how great, how God used them in such a great way, even though they were so insignificant themselves. But God, they made themselves available unto God. So we see she brings these vessels into the house. The only form of liquid in the house was that little cruse of oil. And her boys say to her, what are we doing? What's going on here? I can imagine the house is full of vessels and there's no room to move. And they say, and she stands here and she says, all right, I want the younger boy over here with these empty vessels. And I want the older boy to stand here. And I want you to bring me a vessel and I'm going to start pouring. Why are we doing this? I don't know. She really didn't have a good answer. It's not like she had a reason to do this. She stepped out by faith, trusting the man of God. With nowhere else to turn, she decided, you know what, I'm going to listen to the man of God, for I think he might have an answer for me from God. She turned to the man of God where she could find a miracle from the hand of God. And that would be a solution to all her problems, one that she'd never have to find another solution for. So she does this. She doesn't know why she's doing it, but she begins to pour, just like the man of God says. And that vessel fills. And the bigger brother probably pulls it to the side and they bring in another one and another one. I can see their eyes just getting bigger and bigger as they're seeing this happening. How was this even possible? It wasn't, but God was doing a miracle in front of their very eyes. And they filled one pot and another, and they filled every one of those vessels according to the amount of faith and the amount of effort that they put forward. She goes back to the man of God and says, "Well, what am I doing? What am I supposed to do with this now?" And he says, "Go and sell that oil and pay off thy debts and live with the rest after." She and I want to bring out this point: those vessels, the oil only stopped when they ran out of vessels to fill. Right? Let's make this application too, as we are vessels in the hands of God. If we avail ourselves to Him. I believe that God says to his son Jesus, "You know what? I want to bless one of my vessels today. Someone that's serving God. I want to bless someone like that today." And God says, "Well, there's a faithful Sunday school teacher in Amboy that's been faithfully serving. Let's bless them today." And God pours out a blessing on us. And then God says, "You know what? I want to bless a faithful bus worker," and He pours out a blessing on us. And then He says, "I want to bless someone else," and Jesus says, "Well, I wish we could. We have more blessings to give, but there aren't any other available vessels to fill. There aren't any other clean vessels. God wants to bless us. But are you living your life in a manner that He can bless you? Are you living that clean life? Are you living that empty, that emptying ourselves of ourselves? Are you living that consecrated life that God can pour those blessings on us?" I don't want to be that kind of Christian that just says, "Give," and I receive those blessings and continue to hoard them for myself. It's my job and my obligation to take those blessings that God has given to me and distribute it to someone else in the form of mission giving, in the form of benevolence, in the form of giving to our church, in the form of helping someone else. Remember, God says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." And as God is providing those blessings to us, let us be a channel to give those to someone else and not just hoard for ourselves. For when we are full of ourselves, that's when the oil stopped. Let us be that kind of Christian that gives and passes those blessings on to someone else, letting God fill us up again, and then we pass it on to someone else. God fills us up again and we pass it on to someone else. Let that be the kind of life that we live. But yet, when those vessels were full, the oil stopped. They paid off the debts, and they lived the rest of their life after that with no debt. And God used that little vessel of oil to answer a big need in that lady's life that day. And finally, in our story, she comes to the point where she has no more vessels to fill, and she sells that oil, and she lives the rest of her life off of that money. She found an answer to her problem, not from someone around her, but by going to the man of God who would know the mind of God, that could give, that she could see a miracle happen by the hand of God. I give her great credit in knowing where to turn. I give her great credit in knowing where to go by stepping out by faith and seeing that miracle happen. And from that day on, her and her boys had need of nothing. They lived the rest of their life off of that oil, and it sufficed them for the rest of their life. Any time from then on, as those boys grew up, they had a godly example in their mother, saying, "You know what? There was tragedy came in our life. Tragedy came and our dad was taken from us. But I saw a mom who lived by faith." And you know, something like that might happen in our life. It would have been easy for me this summer, as small and insignificant as a tent is in regard to losing a family member, for me to throw up my hands and say, "This is it. I've had it. I've come to a wall and there's nothing more I can do. We're closing up camp. Amboy, we're closing down. You can't come to camp this year." Call the churches and say it's off. And I felt like that, humanly speaking, to do something like that. But if I didn't, we wouldn't have seen more people saved by God's grace than any other summer before. It would have not happened. And just When God brings you to the end of yourself, that's when you when He's about and you have nowhere to turn and you have to trust Him for everything. That's when God's going to do something great. It might be a little uncomfortable for you physically, or it might be difficult at times, but God's going to do something great in that. And that's what they saw God do, and they lived the rest of their days like that. My point was back to what I was talking about there. Those boys watched their mom live by faith. And I'm so thankful for a mom that I grew up with, and a mom and dad that knew that we're going to trust God for things. She didn't fall apart and say, you know, life's going to end. Dad lost his job. We don't know how to pay our bills. Never poor mouth. You know, always said, you know what? God's going to provide for us. And I'm so thankful for parents that raise us like that. No doubt those boys, as they grew up, as they had families, as they had kids, that story was told around the dinner table at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And hey, let me tell you what God did for us. And when those boys had families, you know what I bet they did? I bet they lived by faith as well. Saying, you know where we're going to turn when we need help? God. That's the first place we're going to go. Not to one another. They could have found satisfaction and help temporarily in going to one another for needs. But God was the one who answered their and satisfied that need that day. And what seemed to be a tragedy, God turned into a miracle. One day, they're knocking at the door. The creditors are knocking at the door and they don't want to answer it. The next day, pots are coming in that same door. And God answered their prayer in a miracle. What a great thing. I remember when I was in Bible college, I was running a bus route. And we wanted to have a big day. We're having a program, and we wanted to pack out the bus, and we wanted to break records. And I knocked doors all that week in preparation for that Sunday, and we wanted to see a lot of people come. Sunday came around, and I didn't have one single first-time visitor on the bus from 30 hours of knocking doors that whole week. Not one. I was a little discouraged, and I thought to myself, you know what? This was a flop. And I'm sitting on the bus and I'm thinking about this. I said, I don't have one visitor to show for all that work that we had done that week. But God blessed in such a way that we ended up with 117 people on our bus route that week. And I couldn't account for one of those people. But God blessed, and we had broke records, and we saw that many people come in one week. And we had to take two buses to get them all to church. I know what you're thinking. 117 people on a 72-passenger bus? I don't think so. We had to get two buses to bring all these people in. And you know what God taught me that day? He said, you know what? I'm going to bless your effort and your faithfulness and your measure of going out soul winning and doing this. But I'm going to do it in such a way that you can't look back and say, you know what? Because of you that this happened. It's because of you that this happened. And God does that. And I don't want to ever stand here and tell you about things that happened at the camp and take credit for it, because I know this is way out of my control for me to be able to do. And it's God that does all of this, and we give Him the honor and glory for it. But God uses small things like you and I. God uses small things like that little cruise of oil. And just when you think you've turned everywhere, why don't you go back to the place we should have turned in the beginning for help? Go to the Lord. And look at that verse again in Psalms, and we'll be done. Psalms number 120. David said, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. He said, I will lift up mine eyes from the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. May that be our prayer. May that be our focus. When trouble comes, when heartache comes, when a financial need comes, when a health need comes, that we look to the Lord for help and walk by faith like this lady did. We don't know her name, but God got the glory for that need that went on. Where do you turn for help? Well, how's your love? How's your faith tonight? Is it small? Is God wanting to grow it a little bit more? Is there something more that you could do for God? Is there something God's been tugging on your heart about that you just said, you know, that seems a little too big for me to handle? If God's speaking to you about it, maybe it's something financially, maybe it's something of giving of yourselves to invest in the ministry here, to do more. Step out by faith and watch what God can do with just an available vessel, a clean vessel, one that's just willing to serve God. Every head.